Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Heavenly Father, we know that your word penetrates us. It divides the soul and the spirit. It enables us, Lord, to be reached by you, for you to minister to us, for you to reveal things to us, for you to challenge us, for you to convict us, to raise us up, to fill us up, to restore our souls, to give us hope, to be able to live for you, to give us strength and courage. So we ask, Lord, in this time that we have now, that this is what you will do in Jesus' name through your Spirit. Amen. Isaiah 48:17 says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to benefit, who leads you in the way you should go. At the end of 2020, we all remember 2020. I do. I thought that was about as bad as it could get. We had seen, not just in this country, but all around the world, the biggest world-changing event that any of us had experienced in our lifetimes, unless we had happened to live through the Second World War. At the end of that year, Jen and I and the girls were finally taking a week off, and we were down the south coast. And they stayed on a little later. I had to go back to Canberra. And so I was feeling a little sorry for myself. I was sitting there in the back of the car driving back from the south coast to Canberra. And I was listening to a podcast by Rick Warren. I don't know if you've sort of a purpose-driven life. And Rick was talking about events that had just happened in the United States. It was January 6th. There was the assault on Congress. The whole country was basically shaking. They'd had a year of COVID. There was complete political turmoil and uproar. And Rick, in his sermon, said, how do we respond to this as Christians? What are we supposed to do in the middle of all this chaos? And he said, we've got to go to the Word. And he challenged everyone who was listening on that occasion, whether it was me in the back of the car or his own church there over in the United States or wherever else. And he said, we've got to get back into the Word. We've got to be refreshed with this every single day. And I took this very seriously. You know, in what I used to do, every single morning, what would flood into this was overnight briefs. There'd be messages, there'd be intelligence, there'd be things that have happened overnight, and there'd be some mornings I wouldn't want to get up because I knew what was going to come through that phone in the morning. I wouldn't want to go to bed the night before because I knew I'd have to get up the next day and this thing would be screaming at me in the morning, not knowing what events might come through or what you would learn. And it's so easy, isn't it, when we all do it now. What's the first thing you do when you get in the morning? I decided there and then that every single morning, it had been my habit usually to have my readings and things in the evening, a bit more time, a bit quieter, and I decided, no, the first thing that's going to come to me every single day is going to be from God, the first thing. And I said, I'm going to read the Bible. I'd been Christian for 40 years. I'd never read the Bible from cover to cover. I don't know how many times I may have read it over the course of my life. I have no idea. But I'd never sat down and read, I'm going from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelations. And so I did. Every morning, I would just read as much as I could and in whatever was happening on that day. And so instead of being bombarded with the avalanche of what the world was going to say and do, I got that word from God every single morning. And if I thought 2020 was bad, 2021, and for that matter, 2022 were way harder. They were probably the most challenging and difficult times I have ever experienced, professionally at least. And God made sure that I was, as I was going into that phase, that He was going to get to me every single morning. And so the Lord leads you in the way you should go. We are living in still very confusing times. When I left the Parliament a few weeks ago, I talked about how I have observed, and I'm sure you have also, that we live in a society today in Western countries and representative democracies where it feels like our society believes it's grown up from God, and our Christian heritage and Judeo-Christian principles. All the things that our societies are the result of, human rights, all of this. They used to call human rights crimes against, you know, supporting human rights or abuses of human rights. They used to call it crimes against God. Still is. And all of this, all of our notions of fairness and justice and all of this comes from one very important thing. You are created in the image of God and you have dignity as an individual human being, created, special, purposed, unique, valued, loved. That's where human rights comes from. He gave it to us. He is the author of them. And so while the world today may not want to acknowledge that link between that and these things, which people pursue enthusiastically and rightly, it's as if somehow they can leave that behind. Now we live in a democracy and the democracy make the rules. And so as Christians today, living in a society which is that's where it's headed, and I can tell you that's where it's headed. It's not heading the other way, I can assure you that. How are we supposed to live? What do we do as Christians? Someone I would turn to constantly because you feel like you're living sort of as an alien in this society often now as Christians. Daniel was such a person. And three other mates that he brought with him. And I would often turn to Daniel to reflect on how he lived in that time. He was a prime minister, effectively, as was Joseph. And his friends were ministers in their government, very senior. And so I would turn to them constantly. And the ones I don't want to focus on Daniel so much this morning. I want to focus on his three mates. Now, you probably know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But their actual names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. For some reason, in Daniel 1 to 3, we keep referring to Daniel as Daniel. I think he became Belteshazzar, I think, was the name that the Nebuchadnezzar gave him. But when you read Daniel 1 to 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego become their names. So who were they? When Nebuchadnezzar brought the Israelites to Babylon, he was a very smart king and a very powerful king. And what he would do is he would take the best and brightest of the lands he conquered and he would bring them into his court. And he would teach them, he would have them educated, he would give them the best of everything that their society had to offer them because he wanted them to be part of that. He wanted them to be infused into it so he could get what he could get from them and their wisdom. He was a wise king. And so He got Daniel, and he got Hananiah, and he got Mishael and Azariah, and he brought them to Babylon. And when they got there, and you can read this in all in Daniel 1 to 3, but let me give you the quick story. He selects them, they come, they're offered the best of everything in the king's palace, the food, all of this. And Daniel says, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. We are Jews. We have our God who we worship, and we have our customs and how we should live. And that's how we're going to live here. And so we will keep to our diet. And the king's attendant said to him, look, yeah, I get it, but no, you can't do that because you'll grow weak and you'll look pale in the king's presence, and then I'll get in trouble. And they said, no, don't worry about that. You put us to the test. We'll go and eat our stuff, you go and eat your stuff, and then after a period of time, you come and have a look and you see. And they did. And what happened is their appearance was so great. They had honoured God in that moment. Their appearance was so great that the king made them administrators in his kingdom. And he raised them up. They found favour in the king's sight. And that's when their troubles began. The minute you start to do well is the minute you find out how many enemies you have. I can assure you that's true. When you start doing well, that's when they start to notice. When you know that you're moving in the things of God, you'll find your enemies. They will come looking for you. You can be assured of that. That always happens. And their enemies were watching them and they were looking for an opportunity. And so on one day, remember, they had found favour with the king and the king thought they were great. Not only did he think they were great, he thought they were better than every other administrator in the kingdom. Could you imagine how those other administrators felt? They grew up there. They were part of that society. Their fathers and mothers, their whole families had probably been involved and supported the king. And here these guys come, Israelites, Jews, come to their house. And the king says, those guys, they're better than all of you. Oh, they would be hatching plans. They would be meeting in small rooms. They would be doing all the things that happens in politics. And they did. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And then one day, the king builds this big statue to himself and he rolls it in and he says, anybody issues the decree. Not strange for those times. Anyone who doesn't bow down to this, they're going to the barbecue. They're going to the furnace. So the day comes. They don't bow. But you don't read that in Daniel 1 to 3, funnily enough. You don't read when they talk about that day that the statue comes in and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't bow. The first time you read of that is when you read of how their enemies reported they did not bow to the king. They just went along, stood there, they knew what the decree was, and they faithfully did not bow. And so the king, when he's told by these enemies, the enemies did not tell the king this for his benefit. They told him for their benefit to destroy their what they saw as their rivals and so those who they thought were taking things that were belonging to them. And so the king was filthy. He was incensed that this had happened and he summoned them before them and he said, I'll give you another go. You bow down to me now, or I'm putting you in the flames. He had the furnace cranked up so much that the poor guys who actually had to take Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego to the, they perished. Not a good day to be rostered on. And they refused. And they went to the flames. They went to the flames. And in the flames, the king saw a fourth person. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see constant appearances of Christ. Constant appearance of Christ. Do a search on 3 days in the Old Testament. It's a good search to do on your Bible app. This is my Bible app. And you will see this, how God was telling the story of Christ all through the Old Testament. And anyway, we know how the story ends. They come out, they're not even singed. And the king's wise enough to know that he got it wrong and he acknowledged God. There are 3 things I want to draw out from this morning. The first one is that they acknowledged God. In Proverbs 3:6, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." It says in Daniel 1:8-9, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself when asked about the food. With the king's choice of food and with the wine which he drank, so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favour and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. They were not going to compromise their identity of who they were, of who God had made them. God had made them in his image, by his hand, for his glory. They were sons of the covenant. They were one of God's chosen people, God's witness on this earth of God's greatness and of God's glory. You know anyone else who fits that category? All of us who believe in Jesus Christ. All of us. In fact, all of us were created by God in his image, by his hand, for his glory. They were not going to compromise this, and they were going to stand for it. And, you know, how many times are we asked to do that? And when you're in that situation, you must know who you are. You can't be confused about it. You can't stand when your legs are shaking. You must be able to stand in the true knowledge of who you are in Jesus Christ, who you are in God. You can't hope to acknowledge him if you're staring at the furnace if you haven't first understood who you are in him. And so in order to acknowledge him, you must know him and you must fully appreciate who he has made you in order to stand in that time. They knew that who they were didn't change by where they were. So, yes, we may live in a time now which is different to the time that I grew up in or my parents grew up in or their parents, where, you know, 80% of people profess the Christian faith in this country. It's now less than half. That time may be different, just like the place was different. They weren't in Israel anymore. They were in Babylon. But that didn't change who they were, and nor does it change who we are. See, God's purposes in us and who we are in him does not change from Alpha to Omega. It does not change over time. It does not change where we are. And it is important that we appreciate that whatever times we're living in, including these, that it doesn't change who we are. They were prepared to be different in that time. See, there would have been others who had been taken from other parts of the conquered territories of Nebuchadnezzar. And as best as I can assume, they probably just filled in and filed in and were conformed, blended in. We're not called to blend in as Christians. We're called to be different. We're called in our acknowledging of who we are in Him that we are different. And there is such a strong temptation as well as coercion right now that you would blend in, that you will change what you believe, that you will move from the timeless principles and standards of God and adopt a new set. In Romans, that's called exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And so it's important that whatever time we are in, whatever place we are in, it does not change who you are, redeemed, saved, loved, born of God, in His image, for His glory. They also weren't insurrectionists. This is important. They didn't plot to overthrow the king. They didn't seek to wipe out their enemies through cunning plans and conspiracies. They just behaved the way God expected them to behave. They were good at their jobs. They were faithful at it. They served the king. They honoured the laws. But there's one thing they wouldn't do. They would not step over the line of dishonouring their God. And that is a very good lesson for us. We're not called to shout at people on Facebook in capital letters. We're called to be faithful, to be good citizens, to love one another, to love our enemies, to be faithful in our communities, to be good employees, to be good bosses, to be positive influences in our community. That will say far more than anything anyone can say from this platform or any other platform. The church being the church in this society in the way that God intended it to be. Think about for a second how great the change has been to this world as a result of one guy and 12 other guys roaming around for 3 years. He never wrote one word down and it changed the world forever. That's what we're called to do. And it wasn't just what they said, it is what they did. And they would not compromise, and God equipped them. The second thing was that they were strong and they were courageous. It says in Joshua 1:9, I remember one morning I got up and I went into my little dressing room and Jenny had put a little frame picture on my dresser, our dresser. It wasn't a picture of the family or anything like that. It was Joshua 1:9. And it said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In Daniel 3:12 to 14 says, "There are certain Jews," this is the report that was received by the king, "you have appointed over the administration of province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They did not serve your gods, nor do they worship the golden statue which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar went into a rage. Sometimes we think when we pray about circumstances we're going through, we ask God to remove them. Or we know that this thing's coming up and we go, "Oh God, please, please." Jesus said that in the garden. Just because God keeps that appointment that you have with that time does not mean He's forsaken you. In fact, it means the exact opposite, because He knows you need to pass through this. He might not be the author of those circumstances, but He knows those circumstances are coming, and He knows that therefore you're good, because He wants you to stand in those times and He wants you to be strong and courageous. So often we get into these circumstances going, "You know, God, it's time for you to show up. Where are you, God? You know, I've been out there. Where are you? I'm in the midst of this. You know where he is? Right in the middle of it. Right with you. Because that's where he was taking you. And that's where he was taking them. They didn't make a show of what they were doing, as I said. They knew they were being watched by their enemies, and they knew what their enemies would probably do, but they stood. They did not bow. And that took courage, and it took strength. And that's what our faith life does require, particularly in times like this. It's not an easy ride. It does cost you. It costs you your plans to follow God's plans. I'll say that again. It costs you your plans for you to follow God's plan for what God would have for you in your life. And they didn't let the fear of that moment intimidate them. What fear does is it controls you. It controls your choices. It controls your decisions. When Jenny bungee jumped, she showed no fear. We admire people when they do things like that. But when it comes to our daily life and the things that control us, the fears that control us, what are people going to think? What are they going to say? What's going to happen to me? Will I keep my job? Will they humiliate me? Will they embarrass me? How will it affect others? These are the fears that will be imposed on you, and you have to decide, are you going to let them control your decisions? Now, it is true that all of those fears may be realized. That's why you have to be strong and courageous. That's why strength and courage, God said, is necessary. That's why he told Joshua that. That's why he told Moses that. He knew what they were going to go through, and he knew they would suffer loss, and he knew they would suffer disappointment, and he knew that they would suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer. And he said, so you know what you're going to need when you go out there? You're going to need strength, and you're going to need courage. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego demonstrated all the way into the flames. See, we read this story, and we know how it ends. They didn't know. And that wasn't a lack of faith on their part. They took their stand. They said, sorry, King, no, I can't do that. I'm sorry, but I can't. And I have no doubt that as they knew, as we'll read in a second, that God could have saved them from that. But if that was not his purpose at that time, and if they were going in there and that was it, they were okay with that. And as they went to it, their courage in walking towards those flames was not a lack of faith that they thought they might perish. It was in fact the opposite, that they knew they might and they would walk towards it and through it and into it anyway. So be strong and courageous. And the third point is they lived with hope. And Tim, I'm going to ask you for just a couple more minutes. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's basically the book I've written about that one verse. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed that verse. They may never have read it or heard it. I assume they hadn't. Probably historically impossible for them to have done so. But they certainly believed it. They said in Daniel 3:16-18, when talking to the king, they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace." But then further down it says, "But if he does not, then we are not going to serve your gods, nor worship with the golden statue that have set up." See, they knew where their hope rested. It wasn't here. They knew that God's plans would lead them to God, which is where they wanted to go. And that's the difference between God's plans for you and your plans for you. God's plans lead you to God. Your plans lead you to you. They knew Psalm 23:6, what it says there. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. They knew what blessing was. Tell you one thing I have learned, if only one. Blessing is not found in achievement. It's not found in success. It's found in God's presence. That's the true meaning of blessing. You will find it in those things if you acknowledge Him, but you also find it in your cancer treatment. You will find it wrestling with financial difficulties. You will find it as you struggle with depression. You will find it in every single circumstance, because in every single circumstance, you can be assured of one thing: God is there. And there you will find His presence if you seek it, and it will bless you. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that. They knew they would find it as they sat down at the table and had their kosher meal, or if they were going to walk through the fire. They knew that God's plan took them into God's presence. Our plans, though, they're about us, about what we want. They're limited by us. Our own intellect, our own perspective. They're limited by, they're defined by us seeking comfort and convenience. They're confined to the truth that only supports that comfort and convenience, which is something this world's become very good at. I have my own truth. You'll hear that a lot. And funnily enough, it's the truth that just conveniently suits the comfort and convenience, as opposed to the truth of what God lays down. And so I'm not surprised that they want to disconnect from that truth and pretend that there is some other truth that some can somehow take them forward. And their truth, sorry, our plans are about today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had an eternity mindset, and the thing they understood is eternity is not something that happens when you depart this life. It's already started. Eternity begins yesterday. You're already in it. The presence of God is not restricted to when you leave this place. It is with you now in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is here now. Eternity is the path that you're on. And when you live for eternity, the rules that apply in terms of perspective for the things we deal with here, they change. You know, when you look out beyond the foreground and you take in the bigger picture, the foreground, it just looks different, doesn't it? And that's the great blessing we have. And that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could look beyond the fire. They could look beyond the test. They could understand that they are on the path that God would have them to be on, and they were going to walk it no matter what, because they had that eternity mindset and they had that hope. So the question I have for you this morning as I conclude is, we all have a choice to make. I like to listen to Casey Treat a lot. And he was quoting Dr. Yonggi Cho the other day, who said, to believe is to decide, to choose. Whether we know it or not, we've already made a whole bunch of choices. What you believe is not about changing how you feel. It's about deciding about how you're going to live, what you live for. Yourself or your Creator and Saviour. And you know, when you wait and are forced to wait, when you lose, when you've lost, when you suffer, when you fail, when you are disappointed or you disappoint, when you are tempted, when you are betrayed, when you succeed, that's when you'll find out what you believe. That's when you'll find out what choices you're making. Do you get bitter or don't you? Do you forgive or not? Do you trust again Do you remain humble? Do you acknowledge God? Do you accept God's forgiveness and trust it? Or can you not let go of it and not trust Him with that forgiveness and continue to torture yourself with your past and not accept His forgiveness? Do you wallow in self-pity when we're trialed by events so often? I'm not immune to that. Or do you choose to see events in God's perspective? You find yourself in those situations, you'll understand the choices that you've already made and they're framed by your beliefs. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God's plans are for your good and not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? Do the choices that you're making say you believe that? I learned that if you can't trust God with everything, you can't trust Him with anything. It's not like an unsubscribe button. It's not 7 days, oh, I don't like that app. Just as well I cancelled it before I had to pay the price. He's already paid the price. There's no unsubscribe button on becoming a Christian and accepting His forgiveness because it's paid and you didn't pay it. If you can't trust God with everything, you can't trust Him with anything. So whose plan are you on? You on God's plan? Or are you on your plan? The only way to be on God's plan and to find yourself with Him as your destination is to do what He said. John 14:6, because Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one is on that path to the Father. No one is on the plan that takes you to the Father except through Jesus. One way. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.